Okay, good evening and welcome to the February meeting of the Value for Money Council Services Scrutiny Committee. We will work our way through the agenda, starting with item one, to receive apologies for absence. Monica?
We have apologies from Councillor Beach.
Thank you. We will now move to item two of the agenda, declarations of interest. Do we have any declarations of interest? Nope. In that case, we move to item three of the agenda, the public minutes of the last meeting, which was the 21st of December 2022. Has anyone spotted anything amiss in those minutes? No. In that case, I'd like to propose they be accepted as our accurate record. Could I get a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Legg. All in favour? That's unanimous. We now move to item four of the agenda, urgent business. Have we received any urgent business?
No, we haven't, Chair.
Thank you. We now move to item five on the agenda, the Disabled Facilities Grant Review. And to start this one off, I thought I'd pass to James for a little bit of background on how we've gone about this review.
Thanks, Chair. So, yeah, I won't go through the report in too much depth, but we'll just touch on the approach and, you know, for example, where the data was sourced from before the Chair takes us through the conclusions that were reached from the report. But as you perhaps recall, this was a follow-up from the previous review that Inter DfG's at a previous scrutiny committee had done and was presented to Cabinet in April 2020. So the report starts off with some background as to what was recommended by the committee previously and what was taken forward by Cabinet in terms of recommendations. But really we're looking at three core themes, which was the performance of the DfG service, looking at service improvements potentially and any key measures that are already in place or could perhaps be introduced off the back of the work of the committee. But really we went through quite a wide-ranging piece of data gathering. So there was responses gathered from the service managers and discussions with service managers. Similarly, there's been a review of the annual reports that present to Cabinet on an annual basis each December in the last few years. And as you know, we had Trent and Dove attend two committee meetings in recent times as well to present to the committee and also to take any questions from the committee members as well. But that's all set out in the report document. So as I say, quite a lot of information that we were able to gather. There was a specific question which was around the performance and how we compare to other local authorities. So paragraph 232 sort of touches on that. There's some graphs taken there from the latest annual report that went through to Cabinet. But the committee also undertook its own benchmarking exercise as well. So there were a number of responses received from, that went out to, I should say, SIP for nearest neighbours as well as all the local authorities in the area, the Staffordshire boroughs and districts. So we managed to get four responses plus our own data. So there's some additional data there that the subgroup was able to gather. So yeah, bringing all that together, that was then passed to the subgroup to review and reach their conclusions. Happy to pass back to you, Chair, to take us through those.
Thank you. So the review itself made six high-level recommendations. The first of which, 4.1, to continue the current annual approach to DfG reporting, the subgroup felt that there was an importance to those annual reports in making sure that the service is transparent in terms of how it runs, how it's performing to the public and to our fellow members. So we thought we'd endorse the continuing annual reporting process. And in relation to this, recommendation 4.2, that the scrutiny committee that's most relevant to DfG performance, which actually is our own committee, be included in the annual reporting process to give us a chance to look over that report each year. Recommendation 4.3 was to set a target reduction for stage 1 to 4 completion timescales. Now, if for those of you who read the report, the service is currently outside the recommended guidelines for timescales. Now, there are many, many reasons for that, and they are discussed at length in the report itself. But last year, a target was set for the service to reduce its timescales, and it met and exceeded that. But we believe that a new timescale should be set for the coming year. Recommendation 4.4, for satisfaction surveys to be applied following stage four completion going forwards. Completion surveys were used prior to the service being brought in-house, and we wanted to bring those back, and the manager we spoke to was wholly in favour of that at the time, from what I can remember. 4.5, for Trent and Dove to be encouraged to complete their adapted housing register as soon as possible. So the background to this one is that Trent and Dove manage a lot of properties. They have applicants that have varying needs. However, they don't keep a central database of what properties they have in stock that have been adapted to given needs. Now, they are in the process of producing one of these, but the benefits to the community would be so great if this did exist, because it would mean people could be moved into properties that already had the right adaptations for them where those were known, rather than going through the DFG process necessarily. So there's huge benefits there if we can encourage them to complete that adapted housing register as soon as possible. Finally, recommendation 4.6, to review the proposed plan to consider whether both the positions that are currently under consideration be made permanent. We believe it's worth exploring whether both positions should be made permanent, partly to ensure a stability in the service, to ensure its capacity going forwards, but also for the morale of staff not being on a short-term contract when we know that DFG is not going to go away. We can't guarantee funding, but we know that there will always be work in the council for those people to do. So we're going to encourage Cabinet to consider whether both positions should be made permanent rather than just one of them. I'd like to, at this point, ask if people have questions in relation to the report. Councillor Grosvenor.
Thanks. Can I ask when the when it's proposed that this report be presented to Cabinet? And I've got a follow-up.
James, do you know the next date?
We'd feed it into the usual report clearing cycle, so it would go through within the next couple of months, I would suggest.
The reason I ask is because we've got a corporate plan refresh due at full council at the end of March, and it strikes me that recommendations 4.3 to 4.6 are ideally placed to be included in the corporate plan refresh as additional targets. That's the reason why I raise the question about presenting this report to Cabinet.
That's a very good point. We will, of course, push for this to be heard at Cabinet as soon as possible, but we will also make sure they've seen the approved recommendations prior to Cabinet for consideration.
No, I'm just saying, is it, if you press it there, that doesn't come on. Is it on? Yeah, it's on. You can speak into it, it's just the light.
All right, okay, fine.
Well, we will, of course, make sure that the Cabinet receive a copy of this report as soon as possible, even if it isn't discussed at Cabinet. So if they wish to fast-track any of the recommendations, that's within their power to do so. Please do.
Considering there are recommendations from the Scrutiny Committee, then, I wondered if Scrutiny would be averse to a proposal of an amendment on the night of the Corporate Plan Refresh and supporting that amendment to include these recommendations within the Corporate Plan Refresh.
I can't speak for the committee in that respect. I suggest we pass it to Cabinet to see what they think first. But I can't stop anyone from putting in an amendment. Any other questions from members of the committee? Sorry, Alison, you did put your hand up.
It's quite all right, Chair, thank you. Could I ask what cost would there be to the council in making the two members of staff permanent?
Well, those two members of staff are currently employed just on a temporary basis. James, do you have anything that you can add to that?
If we refer to paragraph 6.3 of the report, there's some detail there on the potential costs.
Thank you. I'll put my glasses on.
Councillor Gaskin.
Can we put any pressure on Trent and Dove to make sure that they complete this list of the houses that have been adapted to get to sort of speed it along a bit? because, like I say, it's very important that it's done, and it would help tremendously. So is there any way we could put any pressure on them to give them a time scale of having a completion?
I don't believe this committee can put any more pressure on, but that's for Cabinet to consider, I guess. Councillor Legg.
I'm happy to take it to my residents association meeting. I attend every third Thursday of the month, so I'd be happy to put your request forward.
Thank you. Okay. Given there are no further questions, I would like to propose that we accept this review and send it on to Cabinet. Could I get a seconder for that? Councillor McGarry. All in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you very much. We now move to item 6 of the agenda, which is the ICT scrutiny review. James, again, would you like to introduce this one?
Thanks again, Chair. So, some time ago, the committee, or the former committee, agreed to look into ICT infrastructure. To try and understand how, you know, resilient and secure that is, but also thinking about how it responded to the COVID situation as it was then, and think about any, you know, future plans or potential future developments within the service, within the software and systems that we use. So in a similar way to the DFGs, there are a number of different research approaches. So there was conversations with written responses from the ICT manager, who also, as you know, attended the recent committee to again present to us and take questions. Also backing up that piece of work, the subgroup decided to undertake a survey of managers and also a survey of members. And we've also done some benchmarking against other local authorities to bring all that together and help form the conclusions. So throughout the report, there are three themes that have been looked at. Each section has the questions and responses posed and the responses received from the ICT manager, where the surveys that we've done specifically respond to that particular theme or questions within that theme, some analysis, some graphs and charts illustrating what those responses were, along with some of the free text responses where they contribute to those themes, as I say, again, to shape everything and help form the conclusions.
Thank you. I'll give a brief summary of the recommendations made in this review subgroup. Report, starting with 4.1. Explore with Microsoft the potential for an enterprise agreement, production of costings for Cabinet, and there's a number of sections there that we thought could be explored. The reason for this is mostly from the benchmarking data we completed, which shows a number of our nearest neighbours have already moved from a situation where they procure standalone software licenses for products like Microsoft Office when they need them, to one where they have an agreement with Microsoft directly, which enables them to gain certain discounts on the purchase of licenses at a cost of a subscription-based model rather than a one-off purchasing model. So as a number of our neighbours have already moved to that, we suggested that be explored. 4.2, exploration of cost savings associated with shared ICT provision with other borough councils, with production of a report to outline costs and benefits. Again, this one wasn't the subgroup saying we should pursue this necessarily, more that it should be explored because some of our fellow councils have actually done this, and they have presumably done this in order to save costs to make the service more resilient going forwards. So we have asked Cabinet to consider that. 4.3, creation of a forward plan for phased transfer of services from dedicated servers within the SBC cloud infrastructure, noting that this may include both third-party cloud providers and internal cloud provision. In many ways, this is endorsing a process that the ICT department is already pursuing. Possibly the subgroup is suggesting a slightly more planned approach, so producing some sort of more strategic approach to when these different services are going to be transferred, rather than a sort of shorter term view. The next one was encourage the ICT IT team to engage closely on ICT training for new councillors, and that has already borne fruit in certain respects, in that the subgroup spoke to Guy in IT right at the beginning of the review and suggested that the council undertake phishing training, and they have actually done that now. Whether that's because we suggested it to them or whether they had thoughts to do that anyway, we don't know, but it's encouraging that they've already taken that step. And we've reinforced that just by indicating that perhaps just going with, say, a third-party provider for cybersecurity training for new councillors might not have the desired effect in training councillors for a council environment, and perhaps they should take a slightly closer interest for the new councillor training. Finally, 4.5, to consider the potential for whaling tests in addition to simulated phishing. During the discussions we had with Guy, he indicated that the software that they've already procured could be used for more advanced forms of phishing training, including whaling. So we have suggested they give that a go. It'll be interesting to see the results of that one. Okay, does anyone have any questions relating to this review? Councillor Grosvenor.
The thing I would say about the recommendations are, recommendation 4.1 is laudable, but I'm not entirely sure how successful that we might be as a small, with all due respect, a small local authority approaching Microsoft for an enterprise agreement. We may be better placed to do that if 4.2 is explored first. So there might be an ordering of the recommendations that if we explore 4.2 and operate a shared service with other councils, that might give us more of an in to Microsoft if there's a group of us rather than just one small local authority. It also might 4.2 might also lead to 4.3. So I think there's an ordering of the recommendations, if I'm being honest.
I think you've got a very valid point there. What I would say is that enterprise agreements, the minimum threshold for devices on an enterprise agreement is halved for councils. So Microsoft have a close interest in wanting to work with councils. So I agree, it may well be part of shared provision, but it could equally be standalone. We checked the sort of number of devices in use. Any other questions? Councillor McGarry.
Yeah, just a comment as well as a question. My question to yourself, Chair, is what was the subgroup's overall view of the ICT in general for ESBC? And my comment with regard to, obviously, we've all just done a very snapshot piece of training on phishing. And I think for myself, being in my late 50s, there's a lot of words on there that don't necessarily mean a great deal. And I think there's always something new coming out every day that people are trying to hack systems and things. So I think it's an ongoing training issue for the whole of the council and the councillors as well. So, but I would be interested in what your thoughts were on the overall view of the ICT equipment that we've got in the borough as a whole.
Well, in relation to your second point, I think the new member intranet, when it launches, it's going to be very important. That's an ongoing sort of place for people to access training and re-access it as they need it. So at the moment, we're very heavy on the use of email for these types of things. In relation to the sort of general state of ICT in the ESBC, I think up till now, for the last sort of 20 years or so, we've had a dedicated IT team that have taken a very pragmatic view on how to reduce costs and minimise costs to this council of its ICT provision. However, going forward, some of the strategies they have employed simply won't be available to us anymore, either because we won't be allowed to pursue them or because organisations like Microsoft don't want you to buy an individual licence anymore. So we're in a position where either we wait until we can't do something anymore or we plan forwards to find out, well, what the cost's going to be, so that one day we don't wake up and find we can't buy a copy of Office anymore. So I think that's why most of the recommendations are around the sort of forward planning for the future. And it may well be that some of those recommendations, we come to the conclusion as a council, we don't need to do this yet. We don't need to do this for another 2 years, or we should do that right now. But equally, it's possible, given the benchmarking data, we will come to the conclusion, hang on a minute, we probably should already have done this, in which case it's a little bit more urgent. So I think we've been in a very pragmatic position. we just need to do a bit more planning, I think, going forward.
Just to come back on that, obviously in my day job, I use an intranet system myself. We just need to ensure that it's going to be user-friendly, because I know that we've also just looked at filling out a survey with regard to training for new councillors. And obviously come May the 8th, May the 9th, there's going to be an abundance of people that literally have the bare bones of how to use Office and Outlook and all the rest of it, and especially at Excel and things like that, because they just haven't any knowledge of it. So I do think using the intranet and being able to have access to training on that intranet, albeit whatever level we need for any councillors, aptitude of using the computer, then I think we really need to focus on that moving forward as well.
Couldn't agree more. And I think the member intranet is moving into its testing phase very shortly with the digital strategy group as initial guinea pigs. So I think they're already starting to work on the user experience there. Any other questions or comments? Okay. In that case, I'd like to propose that we accept this review and send it through to the next stage with Cabinet. Do I have a seconder for that? Councillor Legg, thank you. All in favour? Thank you, it's unanimous. Okay, we move to item 7 of the agenda, update on ongoing reviews. Now, with the completion of the ICT review and the DFG review, we now have one giant review on our slate. And I turn to James for an update on how civil enforcement is going.
Thanks, Chair. So, again, we've been liaising with the service management team to start to gather the core data, some of the documentation that they use on a day-to-day basis, which start to contribute to the scoping paper questions that were agreed by the group previously. So, I've received some information this afternoon, so I'm going to put that together with the information received previously and circulate that to members ASAP. The service management team have also said they are willing, you know, through the chair and the committee to present to the March meeting of this committee as well, to be able to put some context around that information that we've received electronically, to be able to, let's say, put that context in there, be able to answer any questions that we've got operationally or strategically, etc. So hopefully some good progress in the next month or so.
Thank you. I think that succinctly states our current situation. So we will have one further meeting before the election starts, which is next month, so that we'll have time to focus on that civil enforcement item in depth and decide where the areas are that we believe scrutiny should focus. Any other points on that update? Nope. Okay. We move to item 8, which is a little bit superfluous given we've just had items 5, 6 and 7. The scrutiny review programme, realistically, certainly it's my view that at this point we shouldn't be adding new items onto scrutiny. I think that is the role of the next generation of councillors past May. We have got civil enforcement already on the book, so we've got things to keep ourselves occupied with until then, unless anyone disagrees. Okay, in that case, that's our plan. We move to item 9 of the agenda, the public executive decision records. Does anyone have any points to raise on item 9? No? Okay. We move to item 10. To receive any questions submitted by any member of the committee for answer by the leader, deputy leader, or officers of the council. I don't believe we've had any. So we move to item 11. The date of our next meeting, and the final meeting of this cycle, quite likely for this committee, will be on 22nd March 2023. I will now move.
Chair, could I just point out that I'll need to send my apologies now. One, it's my birthday. Two, I'm in London.
Wow. That seems fair. That seems very fair. Okay. In accordance with Section 100A(4) of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there will be disclosed exempt information as defined paragraphs part I of Schedule 12A of the Act indicated in brackets before each item on the agenda. Do I have a seconder for that? Thank you, Councillor McGarry. All in favour of moving into private? Okay, that's 3, 6, 4 against. 6, 4, 1 against. Okay, thank you. By the time I've read that, the public have all